Are you ready to learn more about science and ancient life? Welcome to Dinosaur Detectives with Anna Dubois. Anna is known as Little Miss Dinosaur, and in just a few minutes, you'll learn why. Get ready to explore paleontology and specifically the world of dinosaurs. Now, here's Anna.
It's time to uncover and discover. Let's crack open the fossil files and see which dinosaur we're going to learn about today. Oh yes, we are going to learn about some of the sauropods of the Morrison Formation. How cool! Welcome, I'm Anna Dubois, Little Miss Dinosaur, and you're listening to Dinosaur Detectives. Let's open up the Mesozoic map and see where we're going today. The late Jurassic period, which was about 148 to 155 million years ago. Awesome! The Morrison Formation is a late Jurassic sedimentary rock sequence in the western United States and Canada from which the numerous dinosaur fossils have been discovered. The Morrison Formation contains mudstone, sandstone, siltstone, and limestone in colors such as gray, green, or red. Most of the fossils occur in the green siltstone beds and lower sandstones formed by the rivers and floodplains of that time. While in Wyoming and Colorado, the formation also had outcrops in Montana, Saskatchewan, Alberta, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, the Oklahoma and Texas panhandles, New Mexico, Arizona, Utah, and Idaho. In total, it covers some 600,000 square miles. Wow! However, only a small portion is actually exposed. Did you know, Dino? The Morrison Formation was named after Morrison, Colorado, where its first fossils were discovered by Arthur Lakes in 1877. That same year, it became the center of the Bone Wars that we talked about before. When two rival paleontologists, O.C. Marsh and Edward Drinker Cope, fought to find and name the most dinosaur bones, fossils from the formation provide information about the environment that was dry and lacking of grasses, flowering plants, and trees. Instead, trees and bushes, such as conifers, ginkgo, cycads, tree ferns, and horsetail dominated. Much of the fossilized vegetation was found along the river valleys. Insects from that time were very similar to modern insects. Fossils of fish, frogs, crocodiles, salamanders, lizards, crayfish, turtles, pterosaurs, and clams have also been found. But the best part is that hundreds of dinosaur fossils have been discovered there, including Camptosaurus, Ornitholestes, Stegosaurus, Hesperosaurus, early Ankylosaurus, and most importantly, a wide variety of sauropods. Some of the sauropods that have been discovered at the Morrison Formation include Diplodocus, including the most famous nearly complete specimen of Diplodocus carnegie that is now inhabited at the Carnegie Museum of Natural History, Farnham Brown's competing museum. Other sauropods include Camarasaurus, the most commonly found sauropod, Brachiosaurus, Apatosaurus, Barosaurus, and the uncommon Haplocanthosaurus and Sesmosaurus. The variety of the sauropods has raised some questions about how they could all coexist. While their body shapes are very similar, long neck, long tail, huge elephant-like body, they are assumed to have had very different feeding strategies in order for all to have existed same time and place. Did you know, Dino? Apatosaurus is sometimes wrongly known as Brontosaurus. Okay, dinosaur detectives, let's examine Diplodocus's creature features. Diplodocus was a massive plant-eating dinosaur and was one of the longest dinosaurs, measuring at 175 feet long, with a neck that was about 26 feet long and a tail that was about 45 feet long. Wow! It is built like a suspension bridge with an impressively long whip-like tail and neck. Diplodocus' extremely long tail, which was about half its total body length, had two rows of bones on the underside to provide extra support and acted as a counterbalance. The long tail of Diplodocus was probably its primary weapon against predators. Studies using advanced computer modeling programs have suggested that Diplodocus could whip its tail at supersonic speeds, almost 800 miles per hour. Imagine how the sound of a supersonic boom would have struck fear into the heart of the Allosaurus on the prowl. Their backs had sharp keratin blades similar to those of modern-day iguana, and their skin was covered with bumpy scales and knobs. Diplodocus had about 40 slender pencil-like teeth that sat at the front of its mouth for stripping vegetation. All of the teeth were pointing slightly forward, giving the dinosaur a very goofy expression. Diplodocus had a very small head, which was about 2 feet long. Instead of being attached to its spine, Diplodocus' ribs were connected to the inside of its skin in its stomach region, as shown in a fossilized skin impression. A fossil of skin impression also suggests that the dinosaur may have had spines along its necks. Even though Diplodocus was very long, it did not weigh as much as other sauropods. It is believed to be more slender dino that weighed about 12 tons, or about as much as a semi-truck. Diplodocus was quadruped, who walked on all fours, though some scientists have argued that Diplodocus could rear up on its hind feet, making it tall enough to reach the sixth floor of a modern tower block. Imagine the loud sound it must have made when it crashed back down to the earth. This gentle giant walked and grazed most of the day. Its front legs were shorter than its back legs, making it one of the slower-moving dinosaurs at about 5 to 9 miles per hour. At first, it was thought that Diplodocus' posture was more lizard-like, with spread-out legs based on 1910 reconstruction by Oliver P. Hay. However, scientist W.J. Holland argued that such a posture would have required a large ditch in the ground to accommodate the dinosaur's hanging stomach. Fossilized footprints discovered in the 1930s showed that Diplodocus walked more like an elephant. Diplodocus had 5-toed feet, similar to that of an elephant. One toe on each foot had a thumb claw, most likely for defense. Although this giant among dinosaurs had few predators, other dinosaurs were apparently intimidated by its size, as Diplodocus' remains have been found in proximity to those of Allosaurus and Ceratosaurus, suggesting they coexisted. With eyes pointing out on either side of its head, it had a good side vision to keep watch out for predators like Allosaurus. Like most sauropods, Diplodocus' nostrils sat high up on its forehead instead of at the end of its snout. Did you know, Dino? At one point, scientists thought that Diplodocus may have had a trunk. What? A trunk? Can you imagine that? Another theory, which has also been since been rejected, but that the nostrils were high up because Diplodocus lived in the water. The theory was disproved because its lungs would not have been able to handle the pressure of underwater life. What did Diplodocus eat? Because Diplodocus could not elevate its head more than about 17 feet off the ground, it survived mostly in low-lying vegetation thought to be mostly new growth of conifers, tree ferns, and moss. While it could not lift its head much above the horizontal position, it had great mobility from side to side, making it easy to eat large areas of vegetation. Based on wear patterns of its pencil-like teeth, that were bunched in front of its mouth. It is believed that the dinosaur stripped the vegetation from branches or even swallowed the branches whole. Come on back, dinosaur detectives, and we will learn more cool stuff about dinosaurs. I'm Anna Dubois, Little Miss Dinosaur, and you're listening to Dinosaur Detectives.
More active ingredients and no artificial coloring.
Tune in every Monday for Purple Songs Can Fly. Our program serves as a musical outlet for children being treated at the Texas Children's Cancer and Hematology Centers. These songs are flown all over the world and even into space. Hundreds of songs have been written and recorded and have been part of shuttle missions, airline in-flight playlists, toured with the Rolling Stones, gone undersea and to the top of Mount Everest. Join our hosts for some great music on Purple Songs Can Fly, Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, on Voice America Kids.
Join us every week for the Paper Hope Street Team. None of our topics are off the table. This is a program that you can listen to and discuss with your family. From the pages of the Paper Hope blog to the internet radio airwaves, we'll talk about the topics you want to talk about, such as friendship and relationships, or some more controversial issues about sex, drugs, and underage drinking. Join the Paper Hope Street Team live every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Kids channel. Let's talk soon.
You're listening to Voice America Kids. Real kids, real talk radio.
You're exploring the world with dinosaur detectives and your host, Anna. Keep it here to learn some more great facts. Let's get back to the show.
Welcome back to Dinosaur Detectives. I'm your host, Little Miss Dinosaur. When we left off for the break, we were talking about the gentle giant of the Jurassic, the Diplodocus, the most famous fossils. The most complete Diplodocus fossil was found in North America at Sheep Creek within the Morrison Formation. It was discovered in 1899 on a trip funded by Andrew Carnegie, one of the world's wealthiest men at the time. By July 2, 1899, Jacob Wortman and Arthur Cogshall from Pittsburgh's Carnegie Museum of Natural History and Bill Reed from the University of Wyoming had uncovered fossils of Diplodocus. Andrew Carnegie had these fossils replicated and presented to King Edward VII at the British Museum. He then sent other copies to various museums in Europe and South America. Diplodocus was the most celebrated dinosaur of the earliest 20th century and offered millions of people their first chance to see a dinosaur. I love that! Diplodocus can be viewed at a number of museums worldwide, including London's Natural History Museum at the Carnegie Museum of Natural History in Pittsburgh. Dinomite, Dino Fights. It is a hot, muggy day with misty rainfall, followed by a blazing sun. It's a good day to eat a bunch of leaves, thanks Dusty the Diplodocus. Strolling along through the lush forest, Dusty stops to graze on some delicious moss and conifers. But hold on just a minute! Diplodocus picks up on an unpleasant smell coming from the distance. Dusty wonders, what could it be? But continues to chomp down the next branch, not too concerned. A young, naive allosaur, we'll call Al, comes skipping down the hillside, chasing dragonflies. But wait, what is this? What is this giant beast off in the distance Al spies? He looks tasty, Al thinks. Yum! I can take him no problem, says Al, who crouches low as if to slink through the grass like a snake. Stepping over so carefully, Al plans his attack. I'm going to sneak up on him from behind and take a huge bite out of that big tummy, he thinks. I'll have leftovers for days. It will be just like Thanksgiving or something like that. Dusty, who now clearly can see the Allosaurus with his side vision, isn't worried one bit. Silly Allosaurus, he mumbles, not even flinching. Al moves in slowly with ninja-like grace, tippy-toes over to a large conifer log and prepares his attack. He moves a little to the left and then a little to the right, and on the count of three, lunges towards Dusty. Thwack! Suddenly, Al goes flying through the air and lands on his back in one quick move. Unsure of what happened, he is laying on his back, having the wind knocked out of him. Al's mother appears quickly and pushes him to his feet and rushes him off the hillside. Dusty, still chewing his lunch, having not even moved an inch, thumps his tail to the ground one last time in satisfaction. Silly Allosaurus, he says, shaking his head. Silly Allosaurus. Or at least that's how I imagine it. Did you know, Dino? The texture of dinosaur skin, although we may never know the color of dinosaurs, the texture of dinosaur skin is another matter. Natural cast fossils of dinosaur skin have been discovered that show clearly what the skin of various dinosaurs looked and felt like. Diplodocus' skin casts show a pattern of tiny pinhead-sized bumps. Cool! Dinosaurs roaming Earth! In a large amount of fossil remains that have made it easier for scientists to study the Diplodocus compared to many other dinosaurs. Since the original discovery of Diplodocus in 1878, Diplodocus fossils have been found in the Rocky Mountain region of Colorado, Montana, Utah, and Wyoming. But only in North America, no other part of the world claims Diplodocus fossils. Interesting. The proof is in the poop. Dinosaur poop and paleontology is important as they were for the ancient ecosystem. Dinosaur droppings have proved equally important for modern-day scientists. Occasionally, archaeologists stumble across huge, well-preserved pieces of fossilized dinosaur dung, or coprolites, as they are called. By examining these fossils in detail, researchers can figure out if they were created by plant-eating, meat-eating, or omnivore dinosaurs. And they can sometimes even identify the type of animal or plant that the dinosaur ate a few hours or a few days before. Herbivores ate hundreds of pounds of plants a day to maintain their weight. As you can imagine by the size of these dinosaurs, the size of their poop must have been enormous, and there must have been tons of it everywhere. Yucca! However, it isn't all gross. Dinosaur droppings were important for ancient plant life, just as modern-day farmers scatter manure around their crops. The millions of tons of dinosaur dung produced every single day of the Triassic, Jurassic, and Cretaceous periods kept the forest lush and green. This, in turn, helped to maintain the vegetation the dinosaurs feasted on and then turned into poop. And so on, an endless cycle. Askosaurus Rex, today I have a question from one of my listeners. Her name is Sam. Hi, Sam. She writes, Dear little Miss Dinosaur, how long did Diplodocus live? Good question, Sam. Diplodocus was thought to have lived anywhere from 50 years to 100 years old. Compared to that of T-Rex, he was thought to have lived for 20 to 30 years. That is a long time. But why would some dinosaurs live for so long while others did not? Well, one theory could be the dinosaurs' metabolism. Metabolism is a set of life-stunning chemical transformations within cells of living organisms. It has been suggested that some dinosaurs like T-Rex or other theropods were warm-blooded with sauropods, while sauropods like Diplodocus were cold-blooded, like today's modern reptiles. Cold-blooded dinosaurs grew slowly and evenly over the years of its life, while warm-blooded dinosaurs could reach adult sizes within a few years. Bigger animals tend to have longer lifespans than smaller animals, especially not that a full-grown giant dinosaur would not be attacked by predators and could only be killed by disease, hunger, accidents, or old age. Estimates like this make good sense if, in fact, sauropods had cold-blooded metabolisms like today's giant tortoises. Thanks for writing in. If you have a question, please send me an email or post it to My Dinosaur Detectives with the Little Miss Dinosaur Facebook page, and I'll try to answer it on the show. Well, listeners, we've learned lots of cool stuff about the Morrison Formation and Diplodocus. This gentle giant of the Jurassic had a long lifespan and enjoyed its vegetarian diet very much. But don't mess with it, or otherwise you will get whipped by its huge tail and thrown a great distance, if not to your death. Yikes! Even though this dinosaur eventually went extinct, it lived a good long life in its lush surroundings, which is nice. Now, let's take a visit from our reference raptor. This week, I studied on the web with my mom. Remember, detectives always have a parent help you when doing research online. Look at Diplodocus facts about the longest dinosaur from LifeScience.com, WalkingWithDinosaurs.com Diplodocus. Bob Strauss's Dinosaurs About .com Lifespans of Dinosaurs, FossilMuseum.net Fossils of the Morrison Formation, Western United States and Canada, and TheBigZoo.com. Check them out! Please come back again. I'm so excited for our next adventure. I'm Andy Bois, Little Miss Dinosaur, and you're listening to Dinosaur Detectives on Voice America Kids, produced by KidStar Radio.
Strange, but remember, we're just kids with opinions. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
At 13, you are just starting to become a teenager and are ready to move on to the next phase of your years. The squeals and screams are replaced by slightly less squeals and screams, and you're expected to act a little more grown up. Tune in to Life at 13 for the answers and support you need to get through this time in your life. Your hosts have some amazing life experiences, and because of this, they have the know-how to get you through ready for what's next. Life at 13, Monday afternoons at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Kids channel.
What do you want to do? Are you interested in the performing arts? If so, make sure you tune in to the Angel and Harmony Show. Angel and Harmony have experience singing, acting, and performing in general, and want to help you live out your dreams of the future. Whether you are interested in acting, modeling, dancing, or singing, this is the show for you. We'll even give you the scoop on being behind the scenes if you're a little shy. The Angel and Harmony Show is heard live every Thursday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
What's cooking? Join Kid Chef Eliana for Cool Kids Cook. Eliana is one of the youngest published cookbook authors and will show you that there are all kinds of goodness in food, beyond the chicken nuggets and fries. On our show, we'll discover cuisine from around the world, learn some great cooking techniques, speak with some of the world's top chefs and share recipes. Kid Chef Eliana is here for you on Cool Kids Cook every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Kids Channel. Bon appetit!
Bookworm is a show for the reader and those that should probably be reading a little more. We'll tackle the classics, the bestsellers, and the brand new works that you won't be able to put down. Your host will be combing the pages of them all and letting you know what needs to be in your personal library and what might be better reading for the bathroom. Tune into Bookworm, airing Thursdays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel. We promise that listening will be just like delving into a good book.
You're listening to Voice America Kids. Real kids, real talk radio.
You're exploring the world with Dinosaur Detectives and your host, Anna. Keep it here to learn some more great facts. Let's get back to the show.
Welcome back. I'm Anna Dubois, Little Miss Dinosaur, and you're listening to Dinosaur Detectives. It's time to uncover and discover. Let's crack open the fossil files and see which dinosaur we're going to learn about next. In the last segment, we talked about Diplodocus fighting Allosaurus. So let's go ahead and learn more about this meat eater and the Jurassic period. In our Mesozoic map, we see the Jurassic period, which was about 144 to 200 million years ago. As the Triassic ended and the Jurassic began, there was a mass extinction in which several kinds of dinosaurs died out. So just who came about to replace those dinosaurs during the new time period? Well, some were as big as 100 feet long, and some had huge spikes, while others were terrifying meat eaters. During the Jurassic, the supercontinent Pangaea began to break apart. Oceans flooded over what was once large masses of land, causing widespread shallow seas, and weather became milder than the Triassic. With milder weather, habitat became less extreme, which allowed for a wider plant variety and the beginning of the rainforests with fewer deserts. Tall pine trees called conifers grew near ponds and streams. Did you know, Diana? Allosaurus is the state dinosaur of Utah. Cool! The Allosaurus was made the state fossil in 1988 in the Cleveland Lloyd Dinosaur Quarry in Utah. More than 1,000 bones have been excavated since 1927. And about half are Allosaurus bones from juveniles to adults. More than any other dinosaur. The number of Allosaurus bones is unusual because there is usually about one predator for every 10 plant eaters. This was probably a predator trap where a few animals that were prey got caught by tar, and then predators came to feed on the bodies. But they also got caught in the trap. None of the skeletons of Allosaurus are still connected. The skeletons were probably trampled and pushed around in this trap. The Allosaurus from this quarry were animals from only a little over a foot in length to those more than 40 feet long and weighing more than 2 tons. Other Allosaurus were estimated at more than 49 feet long and weighed almost 3 tons. Two other predators at the Cleveland Lloyd Quarry were Stegosaurus and Marsosaurus. Both were small and slender. A third predator found was Ceratosaurus, a medium-sized theropod. All these animals were rare compared to Allosaurus. Dinosaurs roaming the earth! In addition to the Cleveland Lloyd Quarry, Allosaurus was commonly found at the Dinosaur National Monument in Utah as well. These locations were part of North America's Morrison Formation. The Morrison Formation itself is a long stretch of ancient rock running from Montana all the way to New Mexico. The rock formation allows us to step back in time to see once lush landscape of rivers, lakes, and vast plains. A perfect setting for such an awesome ecosystem. Allosaurus has also been found in Portugal. It may seem strange that Allosaurus has been found in both the Western United States and Portugal, areas that are over 4,000 miles apart today during the Jurassic period. However, these areas were much closer together. Even so, Colorado and Portugal were joined together during this time. So Allosaurus traveled far and wide across the North and South America and continents. Allosaurus also shared the Jurassic landscape with several other theropods, including Ceratosaurus and the massive Tarbosaurus. Okay, dinosaur detectives, let's examine Allosaurus's creature features. Allosaurus was a typical large theropod having a massive skull on a short neck, a long tail, and reduced forelimbs. Allosaurus fragilis, the best-known species, in the average length of 28 feet, as with dinosaurs in general, weight estimates are always in debate, and since 1980 have ranged between 3,300 to 800 pounds. John Foster, a specialist in the Morrison Formation, suggests that 2,200 pounds is reasonable for a large adult Allosaurus. The snout of Allosaurus was narrower than the back part of the skull, which was firmly built for predation. The back part of the skull was also dropped down to the snout, allowing Allosaurus to have more teeth to contact with its prey when it snapped its jaws shut. Allosaurus had a short crest-like horns in front of its eyes, which were possibly used to attract mates or recognize other members of its species. Although probably not a fast runner, we know from some proportions of this hind limbs and reconstructions of the muscles that moved these limbs that Allosaurus was likely faster than any other meat-eating dinosaurs of that period, and certainly faster than anything it preyed upon. The powerful skull of Allosaurus was the perfect meat-eating machine. The jaws were a large massive with serrated teeth as well as designed for cutting meat as a steak knife. Allosaurus had backward-facing teeth, which meant with each struggle, its victim would be pushed further down the dinosaur's huge throat. It probably overpowered its prey and used its massive jaw muscles, its large, powerful neck and head, and its dagger-like teeth to kill and eat its prey. These predators were widespread. They left their broken teeth near the bodies of many animals, showing where they had been. Teeth that were shed were replaced over its lifetime. The teeth were up to 4 inches in length and became shorter, more curved, and narrowed towards the back of the mouth. The front limbs of the Allosaurus were short but strong, and the hands had 3 fingers each. Each finger had a sharply curved and pointed claw. It probably used its front limbs to capture prey and grab the flesh when feeding. The rear part of its legs were large and powerful, built for both speeding and agility. Allosaurus probably ate any animal it could ambush or overpower. The tremendous size of the sauropods was probably an obstacle for even the largest Allosaurus. Like lions today, Allosaurus was probably opportunistic. It attacked old or weak animals when possible and stole carcasses from other predators. Allosaurus had crocodile ears. It would have had poor hearing, only being able to hear low-frequency sounds, and the skin of Allosaurus was smooth and leathery. The skeleton of Allosaurus was also like other theropods, had bird-like feathers such as neck vertebrae, hollowed by air sacs, and furcula, otherwise known as a wishbone. Can you imagine making a wish with that? That would be awesome, but it better be a really good wish.
One of the most amazing fossil finds in the perfectly fossilized Allosaurus brain, found in the exceptional Cleveland Lloyd Quarry of the Morrison Formation. Soft parts of animals are very rarely fossilized. In this case, it seems that fine mud covered all the dying dinosaurs very quickly. In one school, this fine mud preserved the actual brain in detail. This incredible fossil was enabled to know a lot about Big Al might have seen and reacted to the world around him. The overall shape of the brain is similar to that of a crocodile, with a similar region for detecting smell. The region devoted to hearing shows that it was not highly developed. Allosaurus would only have been able to detect loud and low sounds. The eyes were also rather small and not forward-facing, so Allosaurus would not have had particularly good vision. Therefore, scent seems likely to have been very important to the dinosaur, both to finding prey and mates. Did you know, Dino? Hanging belly ribs, called gastrula, are thin, fragile ribs that help support and protect internal organs, like the lungs, in the middle area of the body. These ribs were not attached to the backbone, but were attached to the skin in the belly area. Gastrula were found in Allosaurus and all Saurischian lizard-hip dinosaurs, but not Ornithischian bird-hip dinosaurs. That is very interesting. Allosaurus has had a lifespan about 25 years. This was about average for a dinosaur of its size, rate of growth, and metabolism. As we talked about with Diplodocus, in comparison, large dinosaurs live much longer, over 50 years. Well, dinosaur detectives, come on back after the break, and we will learn many more cool dino things. I'm your host, Anna Dubois, Little Miss Dinosaur. You're listening to Dinosaur Detectives on Voice America Kids.
Tech field. The tech team is here to sort it all out so that you know exactly what you need to get and what you should avoid. In this age of cell phones and text messaging and new discoveries every single day, you need to be informed. We'll bring you previews of new products, technology news, and help you make the right decision when you are out there buying that new MP3 player, cell phone, or mobile device. Don't do a thing until you've tuned in to the tech team. Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. What about the world concerns you? Is it future success? Is it world issues? Are you just looking to change the world in general? Tune in to What Up World. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, or what you look like. Everyone is entitled to the same chance for success. Follow your dreams. Move forward. Make a difference. Tune in to What Up World every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
You're exploring the world with Dinosaur Detectives and your host, Anna. Keep it here to learn some more great facts. Let's get back to the show.
Welcome back to Dinosaur Detectives. I'm Anna Dubois, Little Miss Dinosaur. Famous fossils, the story of Big Al. Just as all dinosaurs who roamed the earth in time with many other large beasts and lush grasslands, riverbeds, and volcanoes, as we humans sometimes have a hard time remembering these dinosaurs in all their glory. When looking at the stone fossils that were once the bones of these animals, it is hard to picture what life must have been like then. For Big Al, it all started with an egg. As far as we know, scientists believe that all dinosaurs were hatched from eggs, like today's avian dinosaurs, or modern birds. Big Al was an Allosaurus from the theropod family. Theropods laid long eggs that were shaped like potatoes. The first challenge any dinosaur faced, including Big Al, was hatching through their eggshell. Next, mommy dinosaurs and baby dinosaurs smell one another to form a memorable bond. Smell is very important to Allosaurus. Mommy Allosaurus would care for her babies, protecting them and caring for them for the first few weeks. But then the babies would need to learn to protect themselves. Within the first to five to seven years, Allosaurus will grow to be a full-sized dinosaur and join the adult pack. Survival during these first few years are low due to other predators looking for tasty treats. In a world filled with giant sauropods and stegosaurs, finding meals isn't easy for meat eaters like Allosaurus. Big Al will need to learn how to hunt by preying on the weak and older giants. It is a large floodplain where conifer trees and lush mossy banks fill the area of what someday will be the dry badlands of Wyoming we know today. This area is shared by insects and amphibians, and baby Allosauruses catch and eat the insects for their meals, if they are fast enough. In 1991, Swiss paleontologists who were digging at the Ripon Howe Quarry in Wyoming decided to expand the dig and move to a new location in the north. As they collected materials, they realized that they had stumbled upon many bones of a carnivorous dinosaur. Theropod dinosaurs are relatively rare, and very few theropod remains were found in the Howe Quarry. In addition, careful excavation revealed not a random accumulation of disarticulated bones, as had been found in the Howe Quarry, but a single, nearly complete articulated skeleton. Remember, detectives, articulated means that there are hardly any bones missing. Following the vertebrae from the head to the end of the specimen revealed the glint of a black animal indicating tooth, which eventually led to an entire tooth row. Later, the jaws and the entire skull were found. Continued work uncovered other parts of the skeleton. The specimen appeared to be about 20 feet long, and early identifications hinted that it might be the rare Jurassic dinosaur, Ceratosaurus. Big Al is the name given to a real Allosaurus fragilis skeleton. But Big Al wasn't big at all. He wasn't even fully grown. Dr. Alexandra Freeman works on the Walking with Dinosaurs special and tells the story of the real Big Al. Where did it all start? The Ballad of Big Al is the story of Allosaurus, a large carnivorous dinosaur who lived in the late Jurassic around 145 million years ago. Big Al was found near Howe Quarry in the Morrison Formation of North America. The skeleton was unusually well preserved. Over 95% of his bones were found, and they were all the same positions as when he died. Big Al took his name from the completeness of his skeleton. The bones told the story. Big Al had many injuries which were picked up on the last few years of his life. Piecing together the evidence from his bones and those of other animals found in the Morrison Formation, we could reconstruct how Al may have lived and died. The Morrison Formation, where he was found, has given us many clues to the type of environment he lived in. There were lakes fed by large rivers and by the dry and dry season that there were often droughts. The lakes evaporated, leaving white soda crystals and dying fish. Did you know, Dino? Many dinosaurs in the late Jurassic died of thirst. Their bodies dry out in the sun, which shortened the tendons along their backs. This would not have pulled their heads and tails back into an arc above their bodies. Big Al was found in exactly this pose, which shows that he had died in a drought and was not discovered or scavenged by other animals. The sauropods like Diplodocus and Apatosaurus migrated to areas to where it was still green and lush. Their footprints are fossilized traveling around the lakes and on four long distances. The predator trap. The sauropod footprints are not the only ones preserved around the edges of the ancient lakes. Sometimes there are groups of carnivorous dinosaurs, probably Allosaurus, which seem to be following them. Some of these trackways, such as the famous Poluxy River tracks, seem to show a hunt in progress. However, it is very difficult to interpret footprints left 150 million years ago. Allosaurus certainly ate sauropods. Sauropod bones were found with tooth marks and even shed Allosaurus teeth amongst them. Allosaurus teeth were not firmly rooted like ours. They frequently lost them whilst feeding and simply grew new replacements. Fossil beds and predator traps. Stegosaurs were found in the Cleveland Lloyd Quarry as well as some of the sauropods, but three-quarters of the dinosaurs there are the adolescent Allosaurus. It is very unusual to find so many predators compared to prey animals. Also, the bones haven't been assembled by a flood or any of the usual processes which lead to a large number of bodies being found in the same place. Instead, the sediment they are buried in seems to have been made of mud, kept wet by an underground spring. The bones in the quarry are all mixed up and show the tooth marks of predators. All the evidence seems to point to this site being a predator trap. This happens occasionally when there is a natural trap where animals can get struck. Another famous example is the La Brea Tar Pits in the California. That place is so cool! I went there last year on vacation and you can still see the real tar pits. Here, sticky tar traps animals that accidentally wander into it. The bodies of these animals then attract carnivores, which also become struck. The result is that large numerous of predators can become trapped and die in the same place. At 6 years of age, Big Al had not quite reached adult size. His skeleton shows that life dealt him some heavy blows. This is not unusual for a predator like Allosaurus. Many skeletons show healed injuries, but it was the only start for Big Al. Overall, he had 11 broken bones. The amount of healing around them tells us how long before his death each occurred. The first to happen was a break in his tail, which seemed to have been caused by a fall. Big Al's second wounds were a ripped arm and broken ribs. These would certainly have caused him considerable pain. He would have been injured trying to catch prey or fighting with another Allosaurus. A large female Allosaurus was the most fearsome animal all around at the time and could easily have caused these injuries to Big Al. Wounds which made Big Al a useless predator would have been very serious to him. His final injury, a broken toe, put an end to his hunting days. The break is similar to those seen in ostriches if they catch their feet whilst running. the bone around the break became seriously infected. The way that reptiles cope with infection is to try to kill the bacteria by raising their body temperature. This was most easily achieved by staying out in the sun. For the starving big owl, however, at the time of a server, ruthless drought, this behavior proved fatal. His body was found in final resting position by the parching sun. It dried out riverbed. Ah, poor owl. Well, dinosaur detectives, like the dawn of the dinosaurs, this show must also come to an end. Come on back next time, where we will go to another awesome dinosaur adventure together. I can't wait. I'm Andy Wah, Little Miss Dinosaur. Thanks for listening to Dinosaur Detectives on Voice America Kids, produced by KidStar Radio. Keep on hunting.
Thank you for joining us for Dinosaur Detectives. Please join your host, Anna Dubois, again next Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Don't be afraid to learn something every day.
From Bookworm, and now from the KidStar Album of the Month. Here's Mr. Saxophone, Dave Farther, with Mothership.
You and I are on a voyage. Can't you feel the planet move beneath your feet? The ship we're on weighed anchor long ago. It's up to you and I to keep the sailing sweet. Saw a red sunrise this morning. The view from in the crow's nest wasn't good. Time for sailors to take warning. The storm on the horizon says we should. Receiving a call from the mothership. Dip, 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 da, 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 dip, dip. Sending a signal, it's decoded. Dip, 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 da, 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 dip, dip, dip. Three dots and dashes could save our ship. Dip, 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 da, 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 dip, dip. We're all aboard, so let's answer it. Dip, 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 da, 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 dip, dip, dip. On our journey through the Milky Way, we weather storms of carelessness and greed. Keep your sea legs and your bearings, or we'll capsize on this black and starry sea. With the North Star as our compass, sailing round the warm and shiny sun. We can't afford to go overboard. It's our vessel and our lifeboat all in one. Receiving a call from the mothership. Dip, 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 da, 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 dip, dip, dip. She's sending a signal, it's decoded. Dip, 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 da, 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 dip, dip, dip. Three dots and dashes can save our ship. Dip, 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 da, 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 dip, dip, dip. We're all aboard, so let's answer it. Dip, 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 da, 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 dip, dip, dip. Signal is decoded. Dip, 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 da, 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 dip, dip, dip. Three dots and dashes can save our ship. Dip, 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 da, 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 dip, dip, dip. We're all aboard, so let's answer it. Dip, 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 da, 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 dip, dip, dip. Dip, 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 da, 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 dip, dip, dip. Dip, 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 da, 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 dip, dip, dip. Dip, 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 da, 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 dip, dip.
Farmer, Mr. Saxophone from the Kidstar Album of the Month. Check it out on our website, kidstar.org.